Pacifico. Bill Hendry. Hold on.
Welcome back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And every night from our El Pacifico locations here on the West Coast and to our friends and to our close friends and to our listeners out on the east side of the country, we bid you a good evening, a safe evening. And it looks like things are starting to thin. Well, I shouldn't say. I don't know. I'm looking at a Doppler radar picture, you know.
Well, you really can't tell from that, but it does look as if it's dispersing a bit there in the New York area. Not much, but a little bit.
A lot of this weather also is being felt in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and it looks, by the looks of it, I mean the Delaware River, so everywhere in the major population centers of the East Coast, whether it's Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, New York, to some extent, Boston, and then in the interior, further into the interior, like all of Ohio. So we're talking Cleveland and Cincinnati, big area of the country being affected by this crazy weather. We have Karen Deauville on the line. We also have Art Griego. And Art, are you okay?
I'm all right, Phil. I apologize. I had a emotional moment there, and I thank you for being there. Yeah.
Can I just tell the audience what happened was we were talking about your partner Dan Steuben, who went to the Grizzly Maze. This was years before Tim Treadwell, and was attacked and killed by a grizzly bear.
And the odd thing is, as I said to you, Phil, it wasn't so much the killing of my friend. It was the fact that the bear, when I landed, or at least as I flew over, the bear that had attacked him, somehow the hat on my friend's head had transferred over to the head of the bear.
Oh, God. What did you say the bear was wearing a hat?
Who am I speaking with?
This is Karen Deauville.
Yes, yet on my friend's hat.
Oh, Phil, I'm sorry.
All right, I hung up on her. That was absolutely unnecessary, Mrs. Deauville. Art?
Forget it. Whenever I find out, I'll kill her.
Oh, that's great. So, all right, so I hung up on Karen.
Well, I'm glad you did. She sounded like a hyena.
Is that a woman? Yes, it was a woman. It was her and her family. And then Art, I just heard him utter a threat, didn't you?
That's it. If you find her, I'll kill her.
Great. Fantastic. So wonderful. What a way to start the hour.
Not my fault.
All right, in any event, big things happening there in the Griego family. As I was asking him about the HMS, I think he was going to tell us about the HMS Bounty, but I got some other information. This is a ship that sunk. It was used in a 1962 movie. The rescued people were taken to Elizabeth City. This was a ship that was used in the 62 film, The Mutiny on the Bounty, and was doing regular tourist runs, I guess. And it got caught in this storm. And unfortunately, it was not a good thing for the crew. There were 14 people rescued. There is one missing, and that is the ship's captain, Robin Walbridge, age 63. And that ain't good. You know, I don't know. I think there were, you know.
Maybe he could be clinging to something.
No, let's just not speculate, okay? In these modern times, where the search and rescue efforts are so sophisticated and they're so, intense and comprehensive, and they cover a wide space, a wide swath of ocean, and we have GPS, and we have all kinds of aircraft, and we've got ways of pinpointing human beings in huge bodies of water. If you can't find somebody in a relatively, and I'm not saying it has to take minutes, but if you can't find someone within hours at least, or maybe a day, it's possible that that person is no longer with us. And that that may be the case, because, again, it's not like in the old days where a guy is, you know, drifts around on a raft and is shipwrecked for it has happened. I mean, we have had people who have been lost at sea for a while. But this was reported, so this was a big news event. Some ships or some boats, some people's craft out on the water, they encounter some sort of a hazard. They have a problem. the ship itself either sinks or is disabled, and no one knows about it except the people on the boat.
Well, they do have ship to shore.
If they have ship to shore, yeah. If sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go out there.
But they have a ship to shore.
You hear? Yes, you are. But sometimes people are not. I'm telling you, man. For all kinds of situations, there's all kinds of people. That's the way I like to. Every kind of eventuality that's bad, there's a person made for that. And what I mean by that is, there's generally somebody out there who is just born to get himself into a situation like that, sitting out there in the ocean without ship to shore or any kind of contact. You can now. That's a situation where your ass is lost, man, and nobody knows you're lost. That's what happened to that, I told a story, and you've heard the story a million times, about the ship that was torpedoed by the Japanese.
Oh, here we go with World War II.
Yeah.
All right, then forget it. I won't tell you.
I want to hear about it.
I'll tell Robert. You don't have to listen.
Well, I'll listen because I'm here.
No, Margaret, you can go back in the bathroom and throw up some more.
Yeah, let's go puke some more.
You know what? I do have to go to the toilet, but...
But it ain't for throwing up?
I hope you get fired.
Won't be the first time.
Yeah, it won't be the first time. Good one, Phil.
All right. The only thing I was going to say about the SS Indianapolis, nobody knew they were missing because they were on a secret mission. So a lot of time...
Well, is that like somebody on a cabin cruise on a secret mission?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying a guy on a cabin cruiser is on a secret mission. There are reasons why people are not... We don't suspect somebody is gone. There are reasons why we don't report people missing. First of all, we don't know that they're gone. We don't... Where is he? You don't know he's out on a boat? I didn't know that. I mean, I don't... Well, he's out on a boat. Now they can't find him? Now they can't find him, yeah. That's one. And then there's the guy goes out on the boat, and everyone knows he's out on the boat. But guess what? They didn't know he didn't have any ship to shore, any way of contacting anybody, and now it's been 6 days. Where the hell is he? So it's 6 days, you know, and he might have gone missing the first day. The boat might have sunk. He might have been killed. So there are stories, contemporary stories, where they finally do see a guy. Oh, I've been out here 30 days. What was that story we read about?
That's like a fisherman or something. The guy's from Mexico. It probably don't count on account of the Mexicans... They still, like, they're in, like, I don't know, they make the boats out of stuff from the jungle and stuff.
Yeah, don't they have, like, boats are made out of a palm or something?
Who? The Mexican fishermen?
Yeah.
No, they use modern craft. What are you talking about?
What? Huh?
What are you talking about, man?
You talking about that one guy that those Mexican fishermen got lost.
Well, I know that story. There were some Mexican fishermen that were adrift they were not adrift. So, yeah, I think they were adrift. I think the engines were out. There was no sail. So they literally were adrift, I mean, just floating out there for about 30 days. I think it was that long. And that is dangerous, man, because, you know, the human body can go without food for many weeks. And when I say many weeks, the human body can go without food for 30 days, 40 days. You can't go without water. You cannot go without water. If you go any length of time without water, you are in serious, serious trouble. You must have water, and you will begin to hallucinate, and all kinds of things happen to people who don't have water. So when you're in the ocean...
Yeah, even if there's water out there, you can't drink it.
Exactly. When you're in the ocean, there is all that water around you, and you can't drink any of it because it's salt, and it is poison. It's like drinking poison. And so that's the great irony of being lost at sea and not having anything to drink. And so many people who have been lost that way, so many people who have been... out in the middle of the ocean with no means of propulsion, no means of getting home. So many of them have broken down after so many days without water, and they've not been able to help themselves, and they take a gulp of seawater, and they begin to lose it, you know.
Yeah, you gotta lose it if you don't have no water.
Yeah, but you start drinking that seawater, man, all that salt gets into the system, and it just begins to... it starts to just do weird stuff. I'll tell you about it. We have to take a break.
I want to find out about saltwater, what it do to you.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'll tell you in a minute. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Oh, wait a minute, man. We can't screen any calls tonight because we don't have a call screening computer. Oh, well. We're still taking calls there from Mr. Griego.
Well, they have the very special back Friends of Phil phone number.
Yeah, you want me to give it out on the air?
No, I do not. The Friends of Phil phone number is only for the very... All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Thank God you got rid of that Deauville woman.
This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Art Griego has called us back because you heard my alarm there, Art.
So I want to apologize. I was angry, and I should not have said. I didn't think it went out over the air, and I was not intended as a serious statement. I just thought that the woman was being...
It was an insensitive thing for her to do. And we had Karen Deauville had called with her her brother-in-law and her husband, and they were... they laughed when you told the story of the bear wearing the hat, the bear that had attacked and killed your friend.
Yes, sir.
And they're laughing, hearing the fact that the bear had this hat on. How the bear got the hat on, we don't know. And Dan doesn't, or excuse me, Art doesn't know.
I imagine, I don't want to make a joke, but I imagine Dan knows wherever he is. You know, sitting there with God, he knows now how the bear... got the hat on, but
well, whatever. So and then Karen was there with her husband and her brother and brother-in-law, and as soon as she heard that, she started howling with laughter.
The thing that bothered me about that was that they were eating I heard you say they were eating ribs.
They were eating some ribs from Fat Matt's Rib Shack in Atlanta.
Yeah, they're down there on vacation.
Yeah.
No, they're down on vacation eating ribs, and then she said, "What part of the bear are these ribs from?" And she started laughing.
Yeah, no, I understand. It was a totally tasteless.
I wanted to call and mention that. And the other thing that I wanted to mention was I have a long thought about it, and I've certainly been talking to doctors and psychologists and therapists and so forth, and talked to all kinds. I've been for hypnosis to find out why I would be so angry at a bear wearing a hat of my friend. And I was told, just as you told me, Phil, that I've personalized this and that I've made the bear that killed my friend somehow the object of my anger that I've lost my friend, and that the bear was mocking my friend. Now, I know it's impossible for a bear to mock a human being, that the bear had the hat on, and it was a mistake. It was a horrible mistake. That, you know, I'm sure the bear isn't even aware that it made a mistake, but it's something that the bear's going to have to live with.
But what do you mean the bear's got to live with it?
Because that's the only way that I can make this work in my own mind, that the bear somehow, if you'll pardon the pun, bears the responsibility of this. And I know it's...
But that's exactly what the doctors are telling you. The bear did nothing.
I understand that.
The bear did not do anything. The bear acted out of its natural instinct... and if this was after hibernation, or excuse me, before hibernation, I don't know how, when do bears hibernate?
I don't know, Phil. I don't care. I mean, one of the things that is...
All right, well, but Margaret?
Well, I don't know when bears... You want me to look it up?
I'll look it up. I'll find out about a bear hibernating in the wintertime. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the cartoons.
Okay, I'm not talking about a cartoon bear. I'm talking about a bear that killed my friend.
Yeah, well, you're talking about a cartoon bear. It'll wear a hat.
You know what? I know it's wearing a hat. That doesn't make it a cartoon bear.
Okay, look. Bears hibernate in the winter. So the bears are either eating so that they have a full stomach when they go in and go to sleep, or they have just awakened from their hibernation. This was in the summer, right?
Well, it was late summer, yeah.
All right, so probably the bear is getting ready to go into hibernation. Either way, these animals are not the best of customers when they're looking to eat. They are a tough that you don't want to be around.
Well, yeah, and so Dan made the mistake of being around. But why was the bear wearing a hat?
What do you mean, why was he wearing? I don't know why he was wearing a hat. You don't know why he was wearing a hat. You know?
Well, I think saying that the bear was wearing a hat is putting it the wrong way. The bear attacked and killed your friend.
Oh, God. I have to be sexy.
Well, here she goes.
Yeah, here she goes. Excuse me for being human, Phil.
What do you want to do?
Just let her go in there.
Is she sick again?
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe she shouldn't even be in a part of this conversation, because I think it is an absolute You know, it's nothing to laugh at, and I am angry that she was laughing at it.
Yeah, hold on. I'm fine. I'm back. Mr. Griego, I was not laughing at your friend.
I know you weren't laughing at it, but you were being sick, and that's disrespectful.
I did not mean to be sick. When I heard about your friend... Oh, God. When I heard about... I'm sorry. I can't help it.
Oh, God!
God, you bunch of jerk! What did you do?
I'm sorry.
What did she do?
She threw up. Oh, God!
You know, what... Do you think I did that on purpose?
No, but I mean, the least you can do is go in the bathroom, okay?
Well, I gotta go. I'm gonna be sick.
Okay, fine.
I'm sorry, Phil. I wiped up. Bud, there's a mop and a rag in that closet.
Yeah, go get it, Bud, will you?
What? I gotta clean up her throw up?
Well, I'm on the air.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
Talk to me like that.
Get out of here. Oh,
man. That might be gonna drown in a sea of vomit.
Oh, great.
Dad, you want me to mop the throw up, Pop?
We have a break coming up in a couple of minutes. I'll do it, okay?
No, I'll do it.
No, I'll do it. You guys are such a bunch of babies.
I'll do it.
No, you... Okay, fine. You do it.
I was only... No, I don't really want to do it.
Well, you're gonna...
Let me explain. Can I explain something?
That is just absent. Even the smallest child, even a little tiny child, knows enough to find a bucket or something.
Excuse me, but I was sick. Where is the sympathy?
Sympathy for what?
Your friend is sitting there talking about a man that was eaten.
Oh. Don't do it again.
Where is the sympathy for someone as I, sitting and listening to these stories?
Margaret, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. All I can tell you is, can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, right. There are certain things that even we in media are not supposed to hear.
I don't, okay, that may be, but, you know, a guy getting eaten by a bear, that doesn't send me into the throw-up mode, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, me to go clean the throw-up.
No, I didn't say I'll do it. God.
Well, you have to do it. Look, there's a whole pool of vomit under my chair.
Anyway, so that...
You look like you're going to be sick.
No, I'm not going to be sick. I just, it's amazing. I don't think, if this is the kind of thing that makes you sick, you can't, what do you want me to do? You know, you're going to come on a radio show and you're going to throw up?
You're talking about a man being eaten by a bear, and I'm supposed to sit here and go, oh, isn't that interesting? And what do you serve with that? I'm going back to the toilet.
Good. That sounds like a good place to stay for the rest of the show.
And what does that mean?
Because you may throw up. I don't want you throwing up here in the studio. God forbid.
Oh, God, I'm sick of God.
Will you go and see if she needs a towel or something, please?
Hey. Big Gray, you want to have a towel?
Go away.
What?
I said to go away.
All right, Bobby out here with a towel.
Hey, Bud, you got to scream everything. Shut the door. So, yeah, that's a rough one. Wherever you are, Art, I'm sorry to hear about you. Seriously sorry to hear about your friend. If I were you, I would... stop thinking about your friend. If you want to think about the bear wearing your friend's hat, I would not personalize it. I don't think the bear meant anything by it. I certainly don't believe the bear did it on purpose. It was an accident. The only thing that I could think of would be that there was another human being somewhere in the vicinity there who is twisted and warped and sick and somehow saw the hat and got it onto the head of the bear as a joke, or maybe they didn't know what had just transpired. I don't know the answer to these questions, but it's a very, very tragic, tragic thing. All right. There's a couple of stories relating to the salt water in the storm there. That is the Hurricane Sandy, now Tropical Storm or Super Tropical Storm Sandy. The storm that has wreaked havoc along the East Coast struck a historic blow to one of New York City's most vulnerable and vital points, the subway system. As you've been hearing tonight in other news reports, the water pouring down into the subway system. We're going to give you some specifics on why, and it has to do with the salt water. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico.
Bill Hendry.
About, I don't know, there's some commercials that air. I'm sure there's commercials in your local city, folks. Wherever you live, there are TV commercials that air quite frequently. And like, they buy a lot of airtime, right? And, like, there's one that's been on the air at night. When I get off the air and I turn on the tube, I'm looking at, you know, shows that I dig, you know.
Well, you're watching all the murder shows.
No, Margaret, I'm watching Investigation Discovery, not all the murder shows.
Well, isn't that what you're watching?
I'm watching Investigation Discovery, okay? Don't start telling me what I'm watching.
Well, why are you watching it?
I'm not going to get into it right now. I'm talking about something else.
Why don't you go back in the bathroom and throw up?
Why don't you shut your mouth before I do to you what I did twice before, and you'll wind up rolling around out in the street with a bucket of cold water on you. Do you want that?
No.
All right, let's stop. So anyway, No, it's Investigation Discovery, and I'm watching it. And there's a commercial that airs for this makeup school.
Oh, yeah, man, I've seen that one. That one guy puts on, like, a weird wig.
Yeah, that guy's got a purple face.
Exactly. There's a makeup school in Hollywood, and they teach young people, young professionals, young artists who want to go into the makeup business, in the motion picture business, to attend this school. And it's a makeup, you know, they teach you the fine art of makeup. And it isn't just makeup where you maybe darken someone's, you know, put on the eyeliner or whatever, you put on some rouge, sort of make them camera ready. It's makeup for special effects. So you've got weird masks and stuff like that. And, but it airs all the time, man.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. It's just every commercial break, it's that commercial.
Yeah, and it's fine. I mean, I'm not putting them down. I think it's... I'm not mentioning the name of the school because I don't remember it, but every commercial. And lately I've been seeing Shannon Doherty now on every commercial.
Yeah, I've seen that too. She's like advertising, get your high school degree or something.
Right, is that what it is, high school degree?
Yeah, think about it, man. Yeah, they don't have no high school degree.
You don't?
Yeah, that doesn't matter about me.
Why doesn't it matter about you?
Because I'm not Shannon Doherty, and that doesn't matter about me.
All right, it doesn't matter about you. You're making fun of her.
Well, she's a big star. Don't you think she ought to have a high school diploma and everything?
I don't think it's high school diploma. I think it's like getting a college degree.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Because it doesn't make sense. She wouldn't have no high school diploma.
Who are we talking about, Shannon Doherty?
Yeah, she's doing a commercial for this school or getting her degree or getting her something. And Bud seems to think it's for high school. I think it's a college degree.
It's a trade. It looks like. Well, I shouldn't say. Isn't it like a trade school?
Well, it's sort of. It's promoted as a trade type school because she's showing herself in different makeup, being different kinds of people.
Yeah, they got like a. There's one time she's an airline pilot, and then another time she's a cop.
A cop. All right.
It's for a trade school, like when you get on a matchbook cover.
Oh, why don't you shut up before I shut you up?
Hey!
I'm telling you.
Margaret, you're the one that's puked up and he had to mop it up, okay?
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
Dog, I mop up your throw-up.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a time when I've got to mop up your throw-up.
Why, when I throw up when I see your face in the morning?
Well, you lousy stink...
Hey!
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a big meeting with myself. That's it, just a meeting with myself. I don't need any other advice. And it's just going to be me sitting down with me, and I'm going to say the following thing to myself. You know what, Phil? What, Phil? I'm going to fire all three of them. Okay, you go right ahead. Thank you. That's how long the meeting will be.
You won't even take a lunch break?
No, I won't take a lunch break.
Won't you ask for opinions?
I got an opinion.
Yeah, from who?
From me.
That's only one.
No, there's two. I'm having a meeting with myself.
Yeah, but you already have your mind made up.
I think you're a little biased.
Who's biased?
The other person voting.
Not to mention, what's the head shrinker going to think when they bring the nut house?
Yeah, I'm going to kick somebody's ass, I swear. All right, so anyway, welcome back. So on the East Coast, as they deal with this storm, they're dealing with something else. And this is the salt water that apparently is going to be pouring into, or is, I shouldn't say is going to be, it's pouring into the subway system there in New York. And there was an interesting article here I wanted to read to you guys. It has to do with the Metropolitan Transit Authority and how they're going to be dealing with this problem. But when the salt water pours into the subway system, you've got two things that don't get along at all. You have the mechanics, the electronics, and really the very, very touchy mechanics and electronics of a rapid transit, a mass transit system, and you have all of this salt water, which is just about as destructive a thing as there could possibly be, as you know, to electronics, and is a terribly destructive thing to metals of all kinds. Now, I'm trying to find the article that I just had here. I don't know how I lost this thing. It's in the New York Times, but essentially the guy was talking, and this was the man who heads up the rapid transit, the Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York, saying that this is just the worst possible thing that can happen. Now, you got a lot of people that are going to be going to work tomorrow morning or trying to go to work, and obviously they won't be. The subway, there's no way they're going to be able to use the subways. And not to mention the fact that if the destruction to the subway system is the type that they're thinking will happen, you may not be able to use the subway system for a while they're repairing things. So I had the article, man, I don't know where it is. That really, really hacks me off now. And you know why I don't have it? Because I'm breaking a fight up between you two knuckleheads.
Well, Phil, I hardly...
That's what I'm saying. I had this article. I was going to read this article. Did I print it off? No. You two idiots are going through all kinds of fights. So anyway...
Well, when in doubt, just, you know...
Yeah, when in doubt, do another story.
Oh, okay. When in doubt, do another story. That was the story. You know what? The story that I feel like doing. I feel like talking about the mad bomber. That's who I feel like talking about.
Why is there only ocean? There's not a picture of you on the Phil TV.
Because that's what I want to look at right now. The ocean calms me down.
What a baby.
Oh, be quiet. All right. So the mad bomber, Bud.
His name's Bud, not Bod. My name isn't Bod.
I didn't call you Bod. I called you Bud.
It sounded like Bod. All right. I'm sorry.
What are you looking at me like you want to kill me or something?
I do. I do want to kill you. I do. That's very good. That's great. You've got very good perception.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You're looking, scaring me the way you're looking at me.
It should. If a guy looks at you who wants to kill you, the look that he gives you should scare you. If for no other reason, not that he necessarily wants to scare you, but he's intent on ending your life. So the look he's going to have on his face to you, the guy that he wants to kill, is going to be very scary. I would think.
Now, come on, Phil. Quit kidding around.
Who's kidding? I'm not kidding. I want to kill him. That guy sitting right there, Bud Dickman. Budley L. Dickman, I believe is your full name, right?
Budley R.
Oh, excuse me, Budley R. I want to kill you. Okay? Now, there's one thing and one thing only that can save your life.
What?
Shut up.
Well, that seems simple enough, Bud.
Yeah, I can do that.
Whoa, 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 whoa. I just heard you say something.
You just said you could do that.
I heard him, Robert. I don't want him to say anything. I don't want you to say anything either.
You going to kill me?
No, I'm not going to kill you. Him, I'll start with. After I'm done with him, I'll move to you. And then Margaret, after I'm done with him...
Phil, you're not funny now.
Oh, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. See, I'm losing my mind. You don't know what it looks like when a man loses his mind, but it's essentially this. Things begin to make sense that don't make sense to anybody else. See, the whole world sees things one way, and a crazy guy sees it a different way. But guess who's crazy in the mind of a crazy guy? All you people are crazy. I'm fine.
All right, we'll be quiet.
It isn't so much that I need you to be quiet. It's that you don't have any sense of when it is I'd like you to talk and when I'd like you not to talk. Now then, the mad bomber. Let's talk about him.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Why'd you think of him?
A, because we were talking about Consolidated Edison and the problems they're going to be having in getting the city of New York up and running, and it reminded me of a story having to do with Consolidated Edison, and B, because you're bugging me. Now, Consolidated Edison was where a guy by the name of George Metesky worked at one time. George Metesky came to work for Consolidated Edison fresh out of the United States Marine Corps. He had been with the U.S. Marine Corps just after World War I ended. By all accounts, he was a fine Marine. He left the Marines and he went to work for Con Ed. In 1931, George Metesky was working around some equipment at Con Ed, at one of their power plants. There was some kind of an explosion. There were gas fumes emitted. George was thrown. He also inhaled some of these toxic fumes, and he was disabled for several months, if not a year or so. He put in for disability. Initially, it was granted. When he found that he had chronic problems relative to his breathing, he thought he had developed pneumonia as the result of these gases that he had to infume there at the Con Ed plant. He thought he developed tuberculosis as a result. He put in for more disability, and it was flatly turned down. George Metesky tried to contest this in the courts. It didn't work. George Metesky, much like many people that we've heard of since then, decided to get even with Con Ed.
And he started to plant bombs.
He started to plant bombs. George Metesky was a man who lived in the 1930s and 40s. In fact, he just died, when I say just died, 1994. Guess where he was?
Jail?
Nope.
I don't know where.
In a nut house.
Oh, God. They thought he was insane.
Legally insane. You see, George Metesky, after Con Ed refused his disability requests, he began to fixate on Con Ed. He fixated on three people in particular who he said had perjured themselves relative to his story. And from 1940 until 1956, 16 years, George Metesky planted bombs in the city of New York. Bombs planted at Radio City Music Hall. Bombs planted at the bus terminal. Bombs planted at the Port Authority. Bombs planted at Grand Central Station. In the big movie houses. All over the damn city. Public library. And, of course, at the headquarters of Consolidated Edison. And he did this for 16 years. There was only one period of time after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor that he sent a letter to the newspapers, to the press, in which he said, "I'm a patriotic American, and I will not plant any bombs for the duration of the war, but then after that, I'm going back to bombing, and Consolidated Edison, you better watch out."
Are you making this up?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
No, I'm not making it up. Why don't you go to your favorite site, bud, Wikipedia?
I know it's not Winklepedia.
I'm going to look it up now.
Me too.
Yeah, go ahead. You guys look it up. He was finally caught in 1956 by what we were reading earlier, Dan Northcraft and myself, was an early version of profiling, offender profiling, very early version of offender profiling. It was a very smart New York City detective who realized that the forensic ability they had in those days, the ability they had to detect criminals, they'd gotten to the very end of the line. They'd exhausted everything they knew as of 1956. It was then that he went to a friend of his who was a criminologist and psychologist and asked him to begin to work up a psychological profile based upon some letters, these scraps of notes that this guy had sent to newspapers and to the police, mocking them. And this is what a sociopath does. Somebody who is a sociopathic loves to taunt and control. George Metesky was eventually found out, and he was arrested at the home that he shared with his two sisters in 1956. And if you find a picture of him online, you will note that he is behind bars, but he's got a smile on his face. He's smiling, almost like he's nuts, which I think is that's exactly how they adjudicated this thing. The guy was criminally insane. Although there was a method to this guy's madness. I'm not even sure. You know what I mean?
Well, apparently, if you're crazy, you don't know that what you're doing is wrong.
Right. And so this guy, how could they call this guy crazy when he knew what he was doing was wrong, when he knew that he was trying to avoid detection? And on top of that, over a 16-year period, this guy was doing this.
Man, maybe they thought that when that thing blew up, the gas infected his brain or something.
Yeah, remember that movie we seen the other night about the X-gas?
What X-gas?
That movie we seen.
Well, it's a science fiction. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, remember it had the X gas? If you breathed it, it'd make, you'd grow like horns and stuff.
Hey, man, that's a movie, okay? That's a movie.
You said you liked it, though.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun. It was great to watch.
Okay.
What's that got to do with real life, man?
You said when that guy, his head started to change.
I thought it was cool when the guy breathed the gas and turned into a demon. What's this got to do with a real life news story? What are you telling me this guy breathes some demon gas? This cat was walking around undetected. Nobody knew who he was. He's just some schlub walking around in the city of New York for 16 years. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know how he was making his money. I don't remember. But meanwhile, this jackass is putting bombs everywhere. He was cutting the upholstery out of the... He'd go into the movie theaters and he would cut the seats, you know.
Stick a bomb in there?
Yeah, he'd cut the like a hole in the seat and stick the bomb in there. Now, miraculously, no one was killed in this 16-year reign of terror in New York City. There were people injured. Don't make any mistake about that. There were people that were hurt. One of them was an elderly men's room attendant, a man who went into a bathroom stall to see what was wrong when a patron said the toilet's plugged up. So he got a plunger. What are you laughing about?
What? It's funny.
All right, we got to take a break anyway. Let's take a break and you get your jollies later. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with more on, you know, how dangerous it can be to plunge your toilet. Shut up. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Last week we were supposed to have Raj Fanin on our show. Mr. Fanin, a immigrant from Egypt who is working here in the United States. He is a environmental engineer working in the San Fernando Valley. We're going to have him on our show as our special guest next hour. We have him for a segment, and I apologize, Mr. Fanin, that we got a little jammed up in last week's program schedule. Bud, thank you for finding this.
Yeah, I found it in the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you. This is the story. Saltwater puts subway in jeopardy. The storm that has wreaked havoc along the East Coast struck a historic blow to one of New York City's most vulnerable and vital points, the subway system. What are you... What, Margaret? What?
I'm sorry, but Frank's on the line. He heard... He heard what? Well, I thought... Do you want me to put him on or what?
Frank, your husband?
Yes.
What does he want?
Can I just... Honey, you're on the air right now.
Hey, young. Hey, Phil. It's Frank Gray.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm better than Custer. I wanted, because I just heard you, and I told him I'd call. Yeah, I heard you let a little gas out there.
What do you mean, let a little gas out?
I thought I heard a belch.
When... Okay.
Well, I thought I'd let you know, because he wanted me to call if it was...
Well, if it's discernible on the air, did you want to know?
Did I ever say that that this was of vital importance?
Well, it's good you've got somebody out there.
Hey, Bud, take it easy, okay?
Well, that was my thinking, because he was talking to me and said, maybe you could act as kind of a quality control or something on the program. And I said, well, sure, I can if I hear her.
So what he heard was you belch slightly, and he called up immediately to... Let me know, and I'm passing it on to you.
Are you kidding?
What do you mean, am I kidding?
I don't know. I see them tell me about this.
Are you kidding? Are you honestly telling me that this is for real, or are you kidding? Is it a joke? I'd feel good if you told me it was a joke. I'd feel good if you said, oh, well, Phil, I'm just kidding. Ha, ha, ha. I mean, I'd be mad because you interrupted me, but at least I know. But if you're serious...
I happen to be serious, yes. Frank is out there at night... Not doing anything while Mama's at work. And he misses me, so I gave him something to do.
Well, I wish you wouldn't put it that way, but that's essentially what, you know.
He just called you she.
No, he was talking about you.
Were you talking about me?
Is this Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that you talking?
No, it was your wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you talking. I didn't know it was him. What did he say?
She said that you're out there by yourself alone at home and this gives you something to do.
Well, I'm listening to the radio anyway, and I'm listening to conversation, and he told me, well, as long as you're listening to conversation, if you detect any belching or any scratching or anything like that. So,
did she call up and did she ask you to?
Slow down. You're going too fast. You're going. You sound an awful lot like I handled a case about 3 years ago of a guy that faked as if she had autism, and she was looking to divorce her wife. Okay. And,
all right, I gotta go, Frank. Thanks a lot.
Wait a minute, I'm getting to the good part.
Okay.
Frank was trying to do you a favor.
Margaret, of all the ridiculous, asinine jobs that need to be done, that's one that doesn't need to be done. Oh, you belched. I thought I'd tell you.
What a child.
It's pretty funny, though.
I it's a madhouse. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, she says to me, she says, I married a great gal. And she says that she really loves him. No, I'm thinking, of course she does.
Phil.
It's her wife.